It's again a special welcome to everybody here this morning, especially a little earlier this morning for our students who have the reading day. We'll see how much reading actually gets done today. But it's awesome that y'all are here, hopefully to start your day off on the right foot, right? And I hope that your studies are going well. We had great potlucks last night with our men's and women's and different groups, and they were great. So if any of you were there, hopefully you had a good time. My friends, we come together today on this great solemnity, this day that's set apart from all other days of the year. We come to honor the Blessed Virgin Mary, who always points us to her Son, Jesus Christ. You know, on days like this, maybe you have Protestant friends or family or significant others that are kind of like, oh, what are you doing today? Are you worshiping Our Lady? Are you giving her too much attention? You know, I always love the quote from St. Maximilian Kolbe that says, don't worry about loving Our Lady too much. You can never love her more than her Son does. Just a reminder that Jesus loves his mother, and he's the reason why we have today to honor Our Lady for her yes to bring Jesus into the world. So today's celebration of Mary being immaculate conceived, meaning that she was prepared by God from the very beginning of all creation, that she was chosen out of any other woman who's ever lived to be the one that Jesus would come into the world, that she would be conceived and born sinless to take on this role as Mother of God. You might be wondering, and maybe you've been asked, well, where is this teaching found in Scripture? The Bible itself does not clearly state this teaching of the church, but if you look at the early church fathers who came right after the apostles, and then the tradition of the church over the 2,000 years, then we can hear and understand why the church proclaims that Mary was conceived immaculately, which always has been believed since the beginning of the church. And the beauty of this solemnity stems in Mary's role of the salvation of the world. Though Mary was conceived sinless, she still had free will to choose whether or not to be obedient to God's will in her life. My friends, obedience is addressed throughout sacred scripture, and it's definitely needed in all healthy societies, institutions, and even down to a family structure. But it seems that it can be one of the hardest virtues lived out among anyone. Maybe some of you experienced some of this tension this semester, students, as you were trying to be obedient to your professors and their wishes for your classes. Or maybe you will experience such tensions when you go home to your parents for an extended amount of time over Christmas. Now, obedience is derived from the Latin word obedire, which, as Sister Carolyn reminded us, said magnify. Means to open one's ears, to listen attentively, to pay attention. Obedience in the spiritual realm is a servant to faith. Obedience of faith, as the Catechism says, is to submit freely to the word that has been heard, because its truth is guaranteed by God, who is truth himself. Obedience of faith is to submit freely to the word that has been heard, because its truth is guaranteed by God, who is truth himself. My friends, it was in fact the disobedience of our first parents that led to the fall of mankind in the garden. And though obedience seems to be a stumbling block for many people ever since the beginning of mankind, it was the great obedience of one woman that led to the salvation of mankind. So today we'll look to Mary's perfect obedience as the key to her role in salvation history. And her challenge to each one of us is to follow her example of living a life for her Son Jesus and being obedient to God's will for our lives. Now, before looking to Mary's perfect obedience, we must recall the first instance of disobedience, which we heard in our first reading today. In Genesis chapter 3, we encounter the temptation of Eve in the Garden of Eden. It was through the cunning serpent that Eve was disobedient to God and ate of the forbidden tree. This one act of Eve, as well as Adam, severed man's relationship with God. This disobedient act of Adam and Eve is the one that continues to linger in the hearts of all human beings today through original sin and then what we call concupiscence, which is our inclination to sin. We almost desire to sin. And this concupiscence at its core tempts us not to trust God. We doubt in his goodness, or we doubt our own goodness, or the plan that God has for each one of our lives. We sometimes believe that God is a rival who restricts our freedom. Similar to Adam and Eve, the evil one continues to deceive us in believing that if we obey and follow God's commands, that it will hinder our satisfaction, our flourishing, and our freedom in this life. But as we believe, it's actually the contrary, and hopefully what we've experienced. The person who abandons himself or herself totally to God does not become God's puppet or God's prisoner. He does not lose his freedom. The person who entrusts himself totally to God finds true freedom. And this true freedom is most exemplified through the life of the Virgin Mary. It was in freedom that Mary said yes to become the mother of God. This yes caused her soul to be magnified and for her to completely rejoice, which are two outcomes that are far from an inhibiting fullness or flourishing or fulfillment or satisfaction in human life. Mary's complete trust in God shows us a perfect example of obedience of faith and the effects of that obedience. St. Irenaeus helps us to synthesize this contrast between Eve's disobedience and Mary's obedience. He says, Eve, by the speech of an evil angel, was seduced so as to flee God, transgressing his word. So also Mary received the good tidings by the means of a good angel's speech, so as to bear God within her, being obedient to his word. Therefore, it was Mary as the new Eve that brought about the redemption of the first Eve's downfall and was the instrument of the salvation of mankind. Thus, if Eve was disobedient and unbelieving, so Mary was obedient and believing. Mary was chosen by God before all ages and set aside to be the mother of his only son. Mary was loved by God in preference to all other creatures, and he endowed her far beyond the angels and saints. But we might be wondering, what permitted Mary to have such a great obedience of faith? What allowed her to say, Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. It was only through God's abundant grace that Mary mirrored the obedience of her own son, who emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Coming in human likeness and found in human appearance, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So this self-emptying, or what we call kenosis of Jesus, allowed him to unite fully with the will of the Father. And Mary, too, in the example of her son, totally emptied herself so that she could say yes to the Lord and put herself totally at his disposal. It was this self-emptying, this decreasing of the self, and then the great obedience that allowed Mary to crush the head of the serpent and bring about the will of God for the salvation of all mankind. So my friends, during this Advent season and this 2.5 weeks we have left before Christmas, you know, Our Lady continually calls each one of us closer to her Son through a life of obedience to God's will. My hope is that today and always we may see her as a shining example of how to empty ourselves, to surrender ourselves to God, trusting in a loving Father who desires only good for his children. For my friends, only in our daily yes to God's will can we find true freedom, flourishing, and satisfaction.
Thank you for listening to Aggie Catholic Homilies. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Be sure to check out our sister podcast, Aggie Catholic Talks, to hear talks from Magnify, Catholicism 101, and more. Thanks, God bless, and Giggum.